With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
I hope everyone's having a great day. It's Carmen and Yurko. We carried Ryan Poles a couple hours ago. He and Ian Cunningham met the media for the last time ahead of the draft, which begins on Thursday. We'll replay some of that before crosstalk. Tomorrow, the Bears are going to announce plans for a new dome stadium on the lakefront. Will it be south of Soldier Field or the old Michael Reese site?
Well, I believe the Friends of the Park want the Michael Reese site.
Right. I would think they're...
I mean, I think that's what they would want. Any intelligent... Any intelligent... business person in the city of Chicago would want to see that site developed.
Kevin Warren won't get his wish of having quite the dramatic, impressive views. I guess from a TV standpoint, it doesn't matter. It's all aerial anyway. But like the views from Michael Reese, not quite the same as on the lakefront. But what if tomorrow they say we're going to build a dome stadium on the site of the old Michael Reese Hospital, which was like, what, 31st Street or just north, I guess. Just north of 31st Street and Lakeshore Drive. Is give or take, right around there for the old Michael Reese.
Yeah, 31st Street. You exit on 31st, was yeah, just north
it was
of there.
Just north of there, yeah. Right? Yeah. So like
31st. I mean, it's a parking lot right now. Right. A lot of the staging area happens there for anything that's being done at McCormick Place. Right. They park all the trucks in there. It is also one of the parking lots that you have.
Yes, it is.
Where you could walk, for the love of God, and I have.
Yes.
All the way under the new McCormick Place, the one on the west side of the road.
I've done it.
You get to 18th Street, then you cross underneath, and then you walk past the Waldron Deck. Yeah. And then you get finally to somewhere around the stadium, and then you still got another half mile to get to your seat.
So maybe that's the site. We'll see tomorrow.
You won't have a problem with the Friends of the Park.
Exactly.
Why?
You'll have people in the Bronzeville area very happy.
Yurko, I'm sniffing. Is Karma, where did this come from?
I'm asking.
At no point has this come up. Has someone texted you in the last hour suggesting that there might be a change in the site?
What did you get?
I'm trying to figure this out.
Inquiring minds want to know, Chris.
I wasn't even
interesting.
On that.
See,
you sniffed it out.
No,
sniffed it out.
It was... I listen to this show every single day, all day. I take the podcast home and I listen to it a second time. I could tell the first time you guys talked about this an hour ago, the way Carmen suggested it did not happen the same way. That was just, you kind of floated it out there like this is a question. I didn't think it was a question. Last time Kevin Warren spoke publicly about this, he mentioned the Waldron Deck.
I'm just wondering.
He's just wondering.
No breaking
Carmen
news.
Carmen knows
just
something.
Wondering, too.
Are you breaking news?
I'm not breaking news.
Carmen, what do you have?
I feel much more conviction and much more sure that the Bears are going to be on Hard Knocks. Let's put it that way.
So you're reporting that?
You're reporting the Bears are on Hard
Knocks? Reporting that?
Has that been finalized?
Do you want me to hit the breaking news?
No, because I want to maintain some level
of
I want to maintain some level of journalistic integrity. But as a talk show host on the Carmen and Yurko show with Black and Abdallah and Sean Graney sitting in today, it's a cast of thousands. I'm comfortable saying I'm pretty sure and the Bears are going to get Hard Knocks. I'm pretty sure they're getting Hard Knocks. That I feel much better about. All right, let's bring in Jesse. I've got a history lesson for you guys. We bring Jesse Rogers into the conversation. He joins us every week to talk baseball. He is brought to you by the Dolan's Group for excellent financial and tax advice. We'll get to Cubs Astros, but I want to start with the history.
Hold on,
lesson.
Jesse wants his music. He's texting me on the side. He wants his music.
Jesse is a friend.
All right, Carmen, there you go.
Jesse's music is good, though. Jesse, are you ready? And Yurko, you too. All right, I want you to pay attention.
I am ready.
Pucker up, Buttercup. Are you guys ready for a history lesson?
I am.
Jesse?
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Okay. Are you ready for a history lesson?
Fire away.
Okay. So, the White Sox are now 3-19, you guys. It is the second worst start through 22 games, going all the way back to 1901, not in White Sox history, Yerk. That's the big leagues, okay?
Right.
Second worst start through 22 games, excuse me, going back all the way to 1901. Do you guys know the worst start by chance? We were young. Well, Jesse, you and Jesse 20, were a little older.
Baltimore Orioles.
Yes.
The Orioles.
The 88 Orioles were 1-21. The White Sox are 3-19, you guys. They are tied with the 22 Reds, the 03 Tigers, the 92 Royals, and the 36 St. Louis Browns, who would eventually become the Baltimore Orioles, all right? The 03 Tigers finished with the worst record out of all those teams, but the White Sox might push them. They're the only one to fail to get to at least 57 wins when it was all said and done. That 03 Tigers team finished a miserable 43-119. We've told you the record is the expansion Mets in 62. That's 40-120-1. There was a meaningless makeup game that they did not make up because they were 40-120-1. So there's your history lesson. The Sox also, through 22 games, have the fifth worst batting average ever, the eighth worst on base percentage, and the ninth worst OPS. And for this year, amongst all 30 teams, they're dead last in Fangraphs WAR, WRC+, weighted on base, isolated power, and home runs. Jesse?
Insane.
What say you, insane. My friend? What say you, my friend? Yeah. Defend
it. Jerry said it was going to be quick.
Yep. Jerry said this is the best team I've ever put together.
You ought to replay that press conference daily. Eight shutouts. The next team with the most is the Rockies with four. So they've doubled them up. It's insane. And the surprise probably is at the plate a little bit, though, with Luis Robert out in particular. That I can understand them being bad, but not this bad. Like, this is historic, like you just mentioned. So unless he comes back anytime soon, I guess he's due back at some point, I don't see anything changing. That's what I keep saying. It's going to only stay this way or get worse, because they're going to go to these young pitchers like Cannon and Nastrini and keep playing them, and they're going to take their lumps. It's just offensively is the shocker here. Eight shutouts just is something you could never predict.
Offensively, it's terrible. Defensively, like Yurko talked about the botched rundown in the first inning the other day. I want to bring up one other example from the first inning yesterday, and this has probably got a little something to do, again, with Robert being out of the lineup, and you got to play Fletcher in center. But, you know, for Pedro Grifol and this organization to talk about doing things the right way and doing the little things, they still don't do that. Not only are there miserable, look, it's tough. You're throwing out an awful lineup. I hate to be so mean. I wish I had the talent that these players had. They're in the big leagues, but they're not good. Okay. I wish I had their talent. I don't. Okay. Dominic Fletcher yesterday, with two outs, runner on first, ball gets hit into the gap. He fields it and he's thrown to third base. You have no chance of getting a runner on the move with two outs at third base.
No.
Guess what the hitter does? He goes from first to second. Guess what the first pitch of the next at bat was? Drilled into the gap for a two-run single.
Yeah.
Jesse, it's the same. So what? Why do I get frustrated? I don't know. They don't give a crap. We shouldn't give a crap. Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't give a crap. And the players do. I shouldn't put it on the players. Jerry Reinsdorf doesn't give a crap. I guess I shouldn't. But I do give a crap. And for Grifol to talk about doing the things right, they still can't do anything right, Jess.
No, I mean, everything he said in spring training about at least taking care of the things they can control, like playing clean, has not come to fruition. I mean, he really has no authority. He just has no authority. When you consider now they've turned over a lot of that roster and they're still playing the same way. I mean, you can only control some things. They're not talented at the plate. They're not talented on the mound. But you can hit a relay. You can do a cutoff.
Yes.
I mean, little leaguers can do that.
Yes.
And this is where, again, his authority just isn't holding any weight in that room. That's it. It's called leadership. It's called leadership. And over the course of a year and a month, he has not displayed enough of it. And anybody in baseball outside of that organization can see that. Maybe even some in the organization are seeing it. But as we've talked about, Jerry probably doesn't want to let him go because he's got to pay him for a year and 5 months now.
It's
so
sickening.
You know, that's the thing. It's leadership. It's authority. It comes out in how you play, not necessarily in the talent, in how you play. And they have not lived up to anything he has declared going back to last spring training or certainly this spring training.
That's exactly right. And I think it's worth reiterating. So when you say, well, it's not all on Pedro Grifol, that's a terrible roster. Yeah, it is a terrible roster. It's an embarrassing roster. But what Jesse just said is right. Nothing is resonating. We'd expect our 12U kids to know to throw that ball to second base so that a runner doesn't get a free base out of it. You'd expect 12U players to know that. let alone big league players. And so none of it resonates. It's disgusting to watch. It's just awful all the way.
Yeah, and I mean, look, we knew this after last year, right? We knew this after last year. He did have more talent last year. He screwed up from day one in spring training. He admitted that, and it just got worse and worse and worse. So I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the lack of leadership and lack of authority is there this year, because it wasn't last year. I liked him going into the last season, but I was fooled. I have said that. I said, okay, maybe he will learn from his mistakes going into this year, and that certainly has happened. You either have leadership, you either have authority, or you don't, and he certainly doesn't.
What about the milkshakes, though, guys?
I don't think it's something that you gain if you don't have it. Like, right. You either have that leadership quality or you don't. Yeah. And yeah, milkshakes are about the best thing going on over there.
They opted to got 450, right?
They?
I think they opted
500.
To 500?
500, yeah, the quantity. But listen, and again, I don't get caught in the distractions, which what they are. Now that they stink this bad, I mean, we want them to be, like, historically crappy. I mean, isn't that what we want now at the end of the day? Don't. If they're going to be bad, let's be historically bad.
It was great. I was at Passover dinner last night. My brother, who's a casual fan, turns to me, goes, at least they'll get the number one pick. No, not so fast.
You won't have a top nine pick. The earliest they can pick is 10.
Dude, I had to take over the whole Seder to explain why they couldn't pick higher than 10. It was hilarious.
Unbelievable.
It was like, no, there's new rules. They also had a hot top pick last year. I'm like, just trust me. They're not getting it. It was hilarious.
Unreal.
So it will turn into one of the worst. I mean, at least the Bears end up with the number one pick last year.
Yes.
And the trade gets them the number one pick. Like, you can't even get there with this White Sox team.
That should not be lost on all this. They are going to potentially threaten that all-time 62 Mets team for the worst ever. And they can't pick in the top nine because of the new rules. It is un-freaking believable, but they can't pick players most of the time anyway, so what difference does it make? Cubs. Yeah. Let's talk Cubs Astros a little bit. I mean, how about the Astros in last?
Struggling.
In the West. I mean, the A's have a better record right now. I think it's only by one game, but the A's have a better record. Poor Jose Abreu. I mean, you want to talk about painful to watch. Ooh. Ooh, right, Jess? I mean, it is like, you got to wonder, like, if one talking point maybe to follow on the Astros, if they don't pull themselves out of this, and maybe they do because there's still a lot of talent and Verlander's back now. You know, do they trade Bregman, who's a free agent at the end of the year? You got to wonder about how things, you know, could change in Houston after this dynasty's been incredible the last 7-8 years.
Yeah, I would never count them out, especially this early. Yeah. But they have a rookie manager who's already feeling pressure. They have all sorts of injuries on the mound. I mean, their entire staff of good pitchers is hurt. Lance McCullers is on the 60-day. So is Luis Garcia. Then you go to Framber Valdez. Verlander just came off of it. Who else? Urquidy is on the IL. I mean, it's just one guy after another. I mean, they're like fifth in OPS. They have hit the ball pretty well outside of Abreu. They just can't pitch. So it's a long way to go, but I would not doubt that they would trade some of those guys. I mean, it's the one when you're going this well for this long and you don't do it, you don't succeed, then you have to make those trades because you have to recoup something because you're not drafting high. You know what I mean? Like, you're spending a lot of money. So he will consider trading Bregman if they don't sign him up. But that team, I've been watching some of their press conferences. They are feeling the pressure. So the Cubs are either getting him at a good time or maybe a bad time if they wake up a little bit here, because the manager's feeling it, the core players that have been to the ALCS, 8 years in a row or 7 years in a row?
7 in a row or something like that?
Yeah. They're all feeling it as well. So we'll see which Astros team shows up. But if you can't pitch, you can't win. And with everybody hurt, they may not be able to pitch.
It's an excellent point. All right, before you go, we got to talk a little bit about Hendricks. The sample is building. And I would say you could still technically say we're not even in May. Okay, it's early. He can try to work some of this out, and maybe it only really becomes an issue when Steele's ready to come back. But 102 pitchers to this point, guys, have at least 20 innings thrown in the big leagues. And out of those 102, Kyle Hendricks is got the ninth lowest swinging strike rate, easy for me to say, wow.
Mm-hmm.
The 13th lowest K rate. And he's last in adjusted ERA. Is there any fixing this, Jess?
I think the best thing we can say about his last start, it was better than the previous couple. So if he is taking some baby steps, they were in the right direction. He has to continue to go in that direction. Any drop back, and he's in trouble. So it was at least a start. Two innings were really good. A third inning was bad. The fourth inning was just okay, meaning the first inning was good. Second, he gave up a terrible home run, 465-footer. Third inning was good. Fourth inning was bad. So it's like two good, one bad, one okay. And he's moving in the right direction, but we'll see. Now, there's a bit of a mystery going on today. Usually I come to you with, you know, Carmen and Yurko exclusives. I don't necessarily have that. There's going to be a slew of roster moves today. Matt Mervis is coming back up. Remember Matt Mervis?
Of course.
Triple-A phenom. He's coming back up.
Doesn't Sylvie love Matt Mervis?
Oh, yeah.
He's
a Mervis guy, right?
Anymore.
Yeah, but now he's a Bush guy, Sylvie. You know, he's a bandwagon guy.
That's a good point.
So what I'm being told, and I'm actually surprised by this, because Mervis is a lefty, Bush is a lefty. They're the same kind of guy, and Bush is going to get the playing time. But I'm being told, I believe, and I just got told this, that Garrett Cooper, the righty, is being DFA'd.
Wow.
Is being DFA'd. Now, he was brought in as kind of the specialist against lefty pitching. He's only like 231. He's only got like 10 at-bats against them. He's like 231. He's actually better against righties. But I feel it's a little weird to have Mervis and Bush on the same roster. It's not like the Astros have all righties. I mean, think about the end of the game. It's Hader. I don't think you're going to send Matt Mervis up there against Hader, but this is obviously a longer-term move because they're getting rid of Cooper. They're not, like, sending him down. So DFA and Cooper, but there's more. Hayden Wesneski's coming back up, and he's coming back up quicker than the allotted time you have to be in the minors, which means there's probably an injury. There has to be an injury or a paternity leave or something. So is something going on with Hendricks or another pitcher? There might be more than I think Luke Little might be coming back up as well. So there's going to be a slew of moves today. I'm already surprised to hear Cooper could be gone. Someone's going on IL from the pitching staff, so I'm not sure what's happening. So without knowing it, all I can say is at least Hendricks is moving in the right direction. I just don't know what they want to do with him. Do they give him another start, hoping it continues in the right direction, or do they do something else? I don't know. We'll find out in an hour.
Lots of moving parts. All right, Jess, good stuff, buddy. We appreciate it.
All right, boys, enjoy the draft.
All right, we'll talk to Jesse next week again. Jesse's brought to you by the Dolan's Group for excellent financial and tax advice. Let's answer Mario's question real quick. He's in Lamont. What's up, Mario?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, love you. Love your show.
Thank you.
I just overheard you guys talking about the Bears draft and how the rules are going to change, and I apologize. I caught a brief of it. Do you mind explaining that again about the new draft?
The MLB, not the Bears. The MLB
Major
draft.
League Baseball.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So the White Sox
can't draft higher than 10th next year, even though they're going to be one of the worst teams in history. That's what we were talking about, Mario. It's part of the new collective bargaining agreement. The White Sox are one of the big market teams that does not collect revenue sharing. So as a sort of anti-tanking measure, the league agreed, obviously in conjunction with the Players Association, this is part of the bargaining agreement, that a team like the White Sox in Chicago cannot pick in the lottery in back-to-back years. The lottery is 6 picks. The White Sox this June are in the lottery from last year's lottery draft. They are 6th, which means they are ineligible from picking in the top 9. The earliest pick they can have next year is 10th, even though, again, they will in all likelihood finish with the worst record, not only in baseball this year, but maybe ever, the way they're trending. And they can't even pick in the top 9. Terrible. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
All right, watch us every day on YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe to our very own YouTube channel, the Carmen and Yurko channel. Just search at Carmen and Yurko. Simple as that. Hit that subscribe button. You can watch us on YouTube every day. Also on Twitch, brought to you all this week by Buffalo Wild Wings.
Let's go sports bar.
We're going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings, kicking off a fun Friday, recapping the draft this week. We're going to wrap the week there this Friday. The Buffalo Wild Wings in Woodridge on Route 53 by Seven Bridges. Come see us. And Waddle and Sylvie will also be live when we're done. So a live crosstalk.
Wonderful.
And then they'll be there all the way until 6:30. So the fun starts at noon with our show, followed by Waddle and Sylvie. Crosstalk is coming up in about 10 minutes. Ryan Poles met the media earlier today. He was asked, what he learned from dinner with the current Bears when they sat down with Caleb Williams when he was here on his 30 visit?
I think it just confirmed a lot of the information that we got. Kind of testing where his football understanding is. That part, you know, getting him with the coaches, that was a very positive interaction there. And then getting him with some of our players, that's important to us. We're in a really good place with our culture and our locker room. As much as I can, I want those guys a part of the process of building this team. I trust their feedback. And, you know, I think that chemistry is really important. So that's why we did that.
So he meshes with the players off the field, which is good. And he checks the football IQ box, according to Ryan Poles,
which we like.
Here's a little bit more feedback from the players that were at dinner with Caleb.
Really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, you know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive.
He's all ball, Yurko.
That's what I heard.
All ball.
All ball.
Can we just start using this for other sport, like baseball? Is he all bat? What are we? I mean, that sounds a little dirty.
All glove. You can do all glove. You know, five-tool player is the one you want. Yeah. But you could have guys that are all glove.
But the guys that, like, buy in, commit, all glove, no stick. All butt. All bat, excuse me, all butt. All hockey, bat, all puck.
Right, all puck. Puck. It could be all puck.
You know, we like him. He's got a good attitude. He's all puck.
Boxing.
Excuse me? He's all puck. He loves
leather.
Hockey.
He's all leather.
Yeah, an all-time all-ball team.
Oh, boy. You're all-time all-ball team.
Like, you know who's all-ball? Tom Thibodeau.
Tom Thibodeau's all-ball.
He's all-ball.
Scott Skiles is all-ball.
Mm-hmm. Skiles, yeah.
All-ball.
John Kruk can't be an all-ball.
Well, I mean, one.
Yeah, half a ball, you know.
Here it comes. Skiles, Tibbs, Bill Belichick, all ball.
All ball.
Yeah, right? He's the inventor of ball.
He's like, yeah, he is
Bill
ball.
Belichick's all ball.
Sure. I like our Mount Rushmore of ball, Chris. Yeah. This is good. Belichick, Tibbs, Skiles. You know, I could go old school and give you like a Bill Musselman. You know, yeah. They say he. He's a little old school.
We're just saying crusty old coaches, though.
Yeah,
any Bill Musselman. Players? We got any players?
Oh, that's true.
Harvey Pennick was all ball.
Harvey Pennick,
golf teacher.
He's all ball, Chris. We need more time to think about it now.
Here's one. Here's a non-sports example. Someone who's all ball, Tom Cruise. He is all ball, man.
That's brilliant.
All he cares about is the film that he's working on, and he's making sure it's the best film he can do. He's all ball.
The best part of that is he's not an athlete. That's what the best part of that is. Yeah. Tom Cruise is all ball.
But he's all ball.
All ball.
He's psychotic.
All ball.
All ball.
See, I am going with the old crusty coaches, and we might have to go all puck here, but like guys like Daryl Sutter. All puck. All ball. Daryl Sutter's just all ball. That's it. This is a great list. We got to do more of this tomorrow.
Keenan was more all ball than Daryl Sutter.
Keenan was just an a-hole.
Keenan would have kicked Sutter's ass.
Yeah, Daryl Sutter's kind of all ball, though, I think, Eric. But Keenan was just miserable.
Tim Duncan, all ball.
Tim Duncan, good call.
All ball.
That's like an all ball guy. There was nothing else. It's ball and that's it. Nothing. Hardly a commercial, right? Nothing. I mean, like, what did Tim Duncan? Yeah. I mean, like, just nothing. All ball.
Gnomes. He did a commercial with Gnomes.
I think maybe.
Remember, he did the Gnomes commercial.
But not a lot, Jerk. Not a lot.
I got you.
Yeah.
You asked for
I think you're right.
A Gnome commercial.
I think you might be right.
It wasn't for Gnomes, but it was like State Farm or something.
Tomorrow we're doing the all ball draft. And one more here real quick. The strength of the roster and why it might mean it's only okay for the Bears to have four draft picks this weekend. Here's Ryan Poles earlier.
Yeah, things shift and change as you go along. It's going to be hard to make this team now. It's going to be really hard to make this team. That doesn't mean you don't want more shots later. We'll always welcome a lot of picks, but it doesn't force you to panic about the situation we're in right now with how many picks we have. So it fits our roster, but it also fits kind of like we just talked about, the current status of this draft and then move forward what next year looks like as well.
I thought that was an interesting response from Poles. We'll talk more about it with Waddle and Sylvie. Crosstalk around the corner. Ryan Poles himself has the final word, brought to you by the Homewood Police Department. Your future is here.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are. And
you're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app. Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Thanks to Jesse for joining us today. Thanks to Chris Bleck and Sean Graney, who's in for Adam Abdallah. Adam will be back tomorrow. Waddle and Sylvie are here to get you until 6, and then it's White Sox pregame with Connor McKnight, Len, and DJ.
Yeah!
I was saying yesterday to the guys, I cut the grass Sunday afternoon, listened for an
Did
hour to Len and DJ.
Riding mower or push mower?
No, push mower. I don't know. Yeah, push mower. You know, self-propelled mower.
Okay,
but yeah.
Do you plug it in with the orange cord?
Remember when we were kids? I mean, the old man had an extension cord.
That went the length of the yard?
Yeah, plug three of them in.
It was a gas.
Remember,
you had to plug it in.
No, that's no joke.
Why not have a gas one?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they weren't as common. When Sylvie and I were kids, I'm telling you, the old man had a push mower
was electric.
That was electric. You had to have four extension cords to wrap around the bungalow. You got to go. There was hardly any grass.
Do they sell electric lawnmowers anymore?
Well, mine's battery operated.
Yeah. So you just got to charge it.
And I think like the push part would go up and back. Like,
turning it around.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
You push it, then flip it over, turn around.
Yeah, you're right, Sylvie. Yes. I think Sylvie's right. It would, it was like a train. You How never about, really turned it around. It just
train.
Went back and
yes.
forth.
Yes. Like the train seats, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We were cutting grass.
You flip it over. Yeah. All of a sudden, you want a train going?
Yeah. I listened to Len and DJ, and I said it yesterday, guys. I said, as much as that team is horse crap, at least the broadcast is still good. At least they're pros and and it's still good. So thank God for that.
Well,
yeah, what do you expect? You're going to be entertained here.
Well, I don't know about that. But
what are you doing? You're looking left.
What's he doing?
I got the four at Will Rogers now.
He's betting. He's betting horses.
Run, you pig, you swine of a horse.
Run,
get to the lead. Get to the front. Get to the front, stay there, don't get beat.
He got it. I think he won.
When you've got the four at Will Rogers at 2:30 in the afternoon, you might 1-800-GAMBLER.
Just outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I got to be honest with you.
They all pay the same.
Yeah, that's true.
And five to win in place.
What's the difference?
Five to win in place.
The four at Will Rogers.
At 5-1. Wow. That's paying money, Pappy. That's exciting.
Was that the extra pick or whatever? The bonus pick?
That's the bonus.
Was the number four at Will Rogers?
Yeah, that's four amazing. At Will Rogers. In the third. Hey, where'd you start gambling? I think I'm going to stick around and provide gambling for the rest of the day.
Go ahead.
On the ponies.
What are you doing?
I think you should. I think you should.
I'll get a kick out of
just
watching
sit in the background and just scream the whole time.
I didn't swear at all, did I?
No. Okay. You called the poor horse a dirty swine of a horse. That's mean.
Well, because he looked left. Well, it's like he's running, and all of a sudden he peered to his left. What are you doing?
He's like Mitch Trubisky.
Stay focused on the track.
He's going to go inside and clean the barn.
Look at a four.
Can Mitch only go right? Yeah, Mitch could only go right. Right? He couldn't go left like Zoolander.
Hey, 59-4. Oh.
I don't know what
that means. That's impressive.
I don't know. Five furlong race.
59-4. There's shorties out there. They only had four horses in the race.
What do you mean 59-4, 5 furlongs?
5 furlongs.
59 seconds, 59.4 seconds.
No, 59.8. 59-4 is always 4/5 of a second in racing parlance.
50, and that's what it took to go 5 furlongs?
5 furlongs.
And how long is 5 furlongs?
5 furlongs. One over four furlongs.
Five times 220.
One more than that.
How many
meters is that?
1,100 yards.
Don't you love when he goes meters?
Yeah, he says meters. He's like, well, you know, he's about 3 meters. I'm like, meters? What?
Every now and then, Yurko will throw out the meters.
A meter and a half,
I'm excited.
I guess.
It's the second race I've won in like the last 14 that I've bet.
Like, I don't know how tall that is.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm feeling, there's an objection.
Oh, is there?
There might be a steward's inquiry. There's a steward's inquiry.
What'd you do?
What'd you do? It's maximum security again, guys. He veered out with Luis Saez.
We were there for that, weren't we? Weren't we there at Kentucky Derby?
Yes. Yeah,
you guys were security got taken down.
It was Country House ended up winning.
Yes.
Because I had money on
Big
Country House.
Big number, right?
It was like 50 to 1.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Carm bet it.
I had money on Country House because we used to go there when we were kids. The Country House.
The Country House.
Only reason I bet it.
Yeah.
It was
I like the
fabulous.
Way his silks look. Yeah. Such pretty colors.
Hey, I'll take it. No expert handicapping there. It was.
Don't apologize.
It was incredible. I told these guys the Sox are now they're tied for the second worst start through 22 games in big league history. With your 22 Reds, actually, Tommy. But they still rallied to win like 65 games.
Meller was telling me that they have, this is a record, to have been shut out eight times in 22 games.
Yes.
First team ever.
And how about, like, they've been shut out at least once in each of the eight series they've played, which has got to also be. I mean,
last night,
mesmerizing.
So Chris Paddock threw. He had an ERA going in of 8.36. Mm-hmm. You got that? 8.36. He pitched seven innings. He didn't walk a batter, and he struck out 10. Anybody want to take a guess the last time Chris Paddock had double-digit strikeouts in a game?
College.
It was in the pros.
Early with the Padres, early in his career.
June of 2021.
Wow.
Just 3 years ago.
Team is historically bad.
3 years since he's had double-digit strikeouts.
Historically bad.
It's all good.
Can't be mad at him.
Harm, do you know what Tyler Aki did yesterday?
Get an X-ray on his finger?
That too. He started a Chris Paddock in his fantasy baseball league.
And took the Mellor strategy.
Because
he's got stream fading White Sox pitchers, and it works brilliantly.
That's incredible. You got 10 strikeouts in 7 innings.
27 points.
That's incredible. You're the only guy in America that started Chris Paddock.
I know we're going to be very, very football-y, but I'm interested in learning if Sox fans are so fed up with their team and so fed up with ownership, are they now rooting against them to if they're going to suck, be historically the worst?
I don't know if I'm rooting for it, but I think what I'm going to conclude is that it'll be funny.
Like, you it'll know, you funny. Want their noses rubbed in it.
Maybe a little. I
like, if you're going to suck and you're putting the fan base through this, you might as well be historically the worst.
Yeah.
Are you still finding it humorous, or is it losing its humor at this point?
Little
this sounds like this will be a short-lived
it's funny,
humorous.
When I watch guys throw to the wrong base, I get mad. Right. And I'm like, what is happening here in Pedro's messaging? You know, oh, we're going to do all the little things right. You can't do anything right, dude. Your team doesn't know what base to throw to. You can't execute a rundown. Like, your team doesn't do anything right. Let alone you're short on talent. I get that. Like, that's
what I'm asking.
But
how long will the humor last?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, like, last night when Mellor jokes with us on the text chain, you know, no hit through so-and-so again. Like, yeah, it's kind of funny. They're so pathetic, and Jerry is so Jerry cares so little that it is sort of funny.
He's saying, wait a minute now. We didn't say we wanted all the money to come from the state or the city. We're willing to kick in a little bit.
Sure. For what the was it, stadium. $200 million?
I think so.
$200 million. Wow, you're so generous, Jerry.
Yeah.
For a $2 billion stadium?
It's a lot of money, Carm.
Am I being a meathead when I say you can't get, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You can't get a stadium when your team sucks?
No, you're not being a meathead.
No.
If you win 35 games, you don't get a new stadium.
You can't even ask for one now.
It's not even that. It is, as you guys have documented quite accurately over the course of time, it's the length in which this team has been irrelevant.
Well, right. If your kid brings home 3 D's and says, I want a new video game, what do you tell him?
No.
Go ball.
No.
Out your
kick
keister.
Rocks.
Yeah. Go kick rocks.
These aren't even D's.
This is the Blutarski.
This is 0.0.
Animal House.
So when,
is an old reference.
So you're not being a meathead. When you win 35 games, you don't get a new stadium.
No, and it's not a pop-up.
No.
It's not one of these pop-up, you know, horrible seasons. This is, when was the last time they won a playoff series? It was when they
05.
Won the World Series, right?
Yes.
Like, they haven't won a playoff series.
20 years.
We used to say, Waddle, when Rocky Wirtz used to jack up the season ticket prices after a Stanley Cup, we're like, look, if you're going to raise prices after a Stanley Cup championship, you understand it.
Of course.
It's kind of like if you want stuff after, you know, after a dynasty or after winning stuff, we understand that. when you are on pace to win 40 baseball games and then you go with both hands looking for $1 billion and say, build me a new stadium, when your stadium, by the way, is perfectly fine on this outside.
Yes.
Perfectly fine.
Yes.
Their stadium's not their problem.
No. Far from it.
Yeah.
It's the least of their
excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I can have $1 billion?
And only, I'm telling you, only in this state, only in this county, watch it happen. Watch it happen.
It can't.
Oh, watch it happen.
Well, they don't even put it up for a vote here. Like in Kansas City, at least they vote for it.
To vote. I told Carmen, this is all backroom deals. Yeah. Midnight. Only two o'clock in the morning.
And I guess we're the suckers for continuing to live here, I suppose. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. Because watch them just ram it down our throats. Watch them. Just like they did it for him 40 years ago, they'll do it with the Bears. At least the Bears are trending up. But let's face it, it's not some incredible rich history we're talking about here the last 35 years with the Chicago
Listen,
Bears.
Listen, the Bears, okay? I love them dearly. They haven't won a playoff game since 2011.
Then thank you. You know,
they haven't had consecutive winning seasons since 05 and 06.
And the same thing. We won't even get to vote on it. We'll just keep paying. That's all. I asked Yurko. I said, Yurko, help me understand. I don't get these kinds of things. $681 million left. I said, if they knock it down, we're off the hook, right? Yurko said, you're not off the hook.
No.
You're still. I said, what?
Of course. Somebody's got to pay that debt.
What? We do?
Yeah. That thing is, that rehab hasn't paid for itself.
You think these are student loans? Come on.
Yeah. Good call. Good call.
So only in this city, only in this state. So we probably should. I don't know what to do. And we're the suckers.
Are the tickets free now on the South Side for fans?
No, but you could probably get them for $2.
I know you can. But
they pay you.
But still, like, they're not giving handouts to the fans.
$74 for a milkshake.
Why does he get a handout for the stadium?
Good question. Good question, Sylvie.
The Bulls tickets are still going to cost you $175. 100-level seat next year.
Arm and a leg.
Good question.
So what? They're not handing out freebies over there in 1901 West Madison.
But they'll get free money.
So why do they get why do they get free money?
Sylvie, amen.
I mean, if
it happens, like economic impact.
Yeah, right. Bull. I almost swore.
No, level of positivity.
There have been so many studies that have said like that's just a crock.
You watch, you guys.
The vast majority of these projects do not enhance the economic issues around the space.
They're both of them are going to get what they ultimately want.
All he had to do was actually just try for the last few years, and maybe like people in Chicago would have been like, okay, you could have your stadium.
Yes.
But like he's been so bad and just sticking it in the face of the fans.
Indeed.
And like now it's to the point where everyone should just say no. Call your politician and say, do not let them have your money.
You think the politicians are listening to the
you have a vote.
I hope our fans are as passionate as we are about this. I think most of them probably are. I hope they're angry about it. You should be. If you're a Sox fan, you should be irate about it. If you're not, and you live in Cook County or the city, you should be irate about it because you're like, hey, I'm a Cub fan. Why should Sylvie be on the hook? I think I'm the only one that lives in Cook County. Meller lives in Cook County. I live in Cook County. Tyler lives in Cook County. Tyler's not even a Sox fan. Everybody should be irate and upset about it. Everybody.
If you could prove that the projects are beneficial to the communities in a significant way, you could at least engage me in the conversation. But that has been debunked in like the vast majority of these projects.
And debunked.
100%.
Like they're not multipliers. They're not economic multipliers.
They are not.
Part of all of this makes me mad, obviously, with what's going on with them. Part of it is funny, though, Tommy, you're right. They're so bad. It is bad news bears. It is. It's some of it's pure comedy.
Yeah, the optics. That's comedy. You know,
they're 3-19.
3-19. Let me have my stadium for free.
But the baseball season is so long. Like you'll lose your laughs.
Yeah, no,
you'll
run out of laughs. I will. You're right. Listen, I got to be honest, you guys. Two TVs and YouTube TV does a great job with the multi-screen.
You got some NHL and some NBA playoffs.
Well, basketball was good. Finally,
it was incredible. I had basketball, hockey, and Orioles and Angels. Yeah, I know. I'm the one watching the Orioles. But I have two teams now. I've got my East Coast team and my West Coast team. I've got the Orioles, who are on the West Coast. I've
I
got
thought
the
you
Orioles.
Were a Padre guy.
I have two, Tommy.
Oh, okay,
I need
my
an
bad.
East Coast
my
team.
Bad. You've got it.
What happens at 6 o'clock okay. every night? I want to watch so Gunnar listen. Henderson.
Okay. Like a, like
so you've got an American
yes.
League team I, and a National
yes,
League team. Okay,
I have the I Orioles.
You.
I love Gunnar. I'm a huge
Wait, you
fan.
Have, you have three of 30 teams now?
Yeah.
You root for three of the 30 teams.
Well, he's a 10%
yeah.
root for the White
he's
Sox.
A 10%.
I mean, you can't even root for the White Sox. I root for the Padres on the West Coast, the Orioles on the East. I love what the Orioles have. I love Gunner's cheesy mustache. I love what,
is that why you're growing your mustache back? Your love for Gunnar Henderson?
Yeah. I love watching the Padres. You see Dylan Cease's ERA? Who do you think's been liberated? Here, I'm going to give you guys a couple of numbers real quick. See if you guys can guess what these are. Ready?
Dylan Cease's ERA.
You guys give me this. Well, yep. 1.82, 2.70, 2.81. What are those three numbers?
Batting average against Dylan Cease's ERA.
That's the BABIP of the outfield for the Baltimore Orioles.
Nope. No. 1.82, 2.70, 2.81. Those are the earned run averages of Dylan Cease, Carlos Rodon, and Lance Lynn.
Oh, Rodon's turned it around.
Who do you think's happy to be out of here?
Well, Rodon was a mess last year.
Yeah, he stunk last year. Well, no, he's pitched great. Rodon's pitched. Lance Lynn's got a 280 ERA.
Because the Yankee fans were sick of Rodon, too.
He stunk last year.
It's early.
Those are the ERAs of those three. They're liberated, Tommy. Yeah. He's liberated, Tommy.
He is, but he was liberated last year in L.A., and it didn't go well, right?
He's so happy in St. Louis.
I know, but he's been liberated for a while. Didn't they kick him out of the rotation in L.A. last year?
No. He got a playoff start, didn't he, Miller?
Yeah.
Am I crazy?
He just wasn't very good.
He just wasn't good.
He's old. He's old and fat.
So, you know, Orioles, Padres. But, yeah, the Sox weren't even on after the second inning, guys. It was like done.
So obviously I wasn't watching. So paint me a picture. I got runners on first and second?
Yep. No. Runner on first, two outs, balls. Dominic Fletcher has to range to his left like a knucklehead. It comes up throwing at third base.
Why?
Good question.
Why not throw to first?
Why not throw to second?
Or to second.
Throw to second.
Yeah. It's right in front
of you. It's like we've been teaching our kids that since they were nine.
Well, was there
throw
someone
to
on
second
was
base?
It, well, was there someone on second, or was that guy picking his ass in the just
no,
in
actually,
the outfield?
There was. Like, there was
it
somebody
doesn't
there.
Matter. They wouldn't
throw
have scored
to second
a run.
Base.
Carm, you're getting all bent out of shape. They would not have scored a run.
So then the hitter gets a free base the second. The next batter drills one, and it's a two-run single.
All right, so they would have lost 5-1.
And forget
point.
Winning games. The question is, will they win more games or be shut out more this year? They're 5 shutouts behind their win
the
total.
The Cinco de Mayo contest is looking great.
Oh, dude, it's looking
fabulous. It's right on par.
I mean, Cinco or Cinco de Mayo.
It's there.
I mean, dude, it is right there.
Who would have thought?
It is right there,
I
you guys.
As a lark, not anticipating to even be close. And realistic view, take a look at it. There's going to be a lot of losing going on. There's got to be a lot of losing for them to stay at 4. I mean, I'm hoping it takes a long time to get to 4. That way, at least Cinco de Mayo or Cinco de Mayo.
It should be called
Chicago.
Stinko de Mayo.
But the White Sox, it's Stinko de Mayo.
Yes,
that's
Stinko,
what it is.
That's good.
Tyler asked this question a while ago, and I'm going to stand by it. Like, he said, what will happen first? What was it, Tyler, that the White Sox will make the postseason?
Or every team.
Every other professional team in town will win a series or
advance
a game
around.
In the postseason.
Oh, man.
I went with the latter. Like, I mean, I don't think it's likely
the
Bulls
Hawks
win
and the
any.
The Bulls are so far away from winning.
It just tells you how down I am on the White Sox.
I'll tell you how probably the order of operations in this situation.
Go ahead.
Because I do believe the Cubs might make the playoffs this year. I believe it's Cubs. I believe it's Bears. I believe it's Hawks.
Remember, you have to win a series, he's saying.
Win
not, just
not
make
the playoffs.
Not make the playoffs.
He's saying, and he's saying all four other teams have to win a series. Do you know how hard that is?
Okay.
Do you know how long it's going to be before the Bulls win a playoff
that's what
series?
I mean.
I'm giving you the order of operations.
Okay.
I believe the Cubs can be the win
this
the
year,
series
they can
first.
Win a series. Okay.
Again, I believe Bears can win a playoff game since there's no series.
I probably believe
game.
That
right.
happens.
That counts as a game.
More
Bears,
than anything.
A series.
I think the Hawks are closer than the rest of the teams that are available. I think the Hawks, with their rebuild, they did it right.
And an 8 seed can win a series.
They're going to get another second round pick. I mean, a 2 pick, probably.
Top pick. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be the number one pick.
No,
it'll
but
be
it'll
the
be,
second pick in the first round this year. Yeah. Plus, they've got the kids coming back from college, some of them. I think they're more apt to get ready to get back. Then I believe it's the Bulls, but the Bulls are 4 or 5 years away from being able to win a playoff series. And then I get to the White Sox on whatever they have to do. Then I get to the White Sox.
But they only have to make a postseason.
But their last gap was 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they went from, what, 08 to 2020?
They don't make anything.
But again, the Bulls haven't won a series since, what, 16?
Fine. Yeah, but that's
what year was it?
15?
15 against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I believe they're closer to a rebuild than they are
to
winning a series.
White Sox even further away. I believe I will be retired with my feet in the oceanic waters.
San Mateo?
The oceanic waters before the White Sox make the playoffs.
Wow, before they make the playoffs. That's pretty sad.
I will be retired, and I will have my toes in oceanic waters.
One thing that could change, and I'm with you, the one thing that could change that is if they sold the team and they went in a different direction.
Agreed.
And everything kind of was.
And remember, to make the baseball postseason isn't hard. It isn't hard these days.
Still technically the hardest. I mean, it's still your
percentage. The baseball postseason?
Your percentages are smallest, right?
Then to win a postseason for all four of the teams mathematically?
When you compare it to that, yeah. I just thought you meant making the playoffs in
baseball. Your
percentage is the lowest.
How many series have the Bulls even won in the last 25 years? They won two the year they went to the Eastern Conference Final.
I think four.
Like they've won like four series in 25 years.
Are 10 years away from being good.
You know what I was thinking last night, guys?
I don't think that ever really.
10 years away from being good.
That's hard, though, because you're going to have a lot of. Well, they won't have a high pick next year. But anyway.
What are they going to have?
I think it's a really good question that Tyler came up with.
I'll leave you with this. You know what I was thinking?
Who's doing the picking?
At the end of that, I was thinking at watching the end of the Sixers-Knicks game. I was thinking we sort of lived it briefly. It was brief, like 10, 12 years ago. The Rangers are maybe the best team in the NHL. The Knicks are not the best team, but the second seed. They're both in the playoffs. They're both up in their series. Like, that building was rocking. I'm like, remember when, like, Derek was awesome and the Hawks were winning the cup? And,
2011.
Remember those springs? Those few springs, like, how much fun they were?
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, the Knicks and the Rangers have it right now. The Yankees are in first. I'm like, oof.
Don't tell me on the Jets or the Giants.
No. I wouldn't do that. Right. I wouldn't do that. But it's fun times in New York right now this spring.
Like, if you're time.
You got Juan Soto's killing it. It's fun time.
Well, look, this could be, you could argue, one of the biggest weeks in Bears modern history.
100%.
With them unveiling the stadium plan tomorrow and then their draft on Thursday.
It's going to shape the future.
Yeah.
Just don't ask us to pay for it. All right, boys, what's coming up?
They're going to, the city's,
I know.
We're paying for some of it.
Of course.
A lot of it, probably.
That's what I mean. We have no choice. They won't even put it to a vote. They're just going to tell us.
What's on your stadium wish list? And it sure sounded to me like Paul's hinted that a trade up is possible. It's very possible.
That's what these guys thought, too. Yeah.
I will replay that for you. If you missed Ryan Paul's, we'll play it for you in Barstool Big Cat coming up next.
All right, sounds good, boys. Have a great day. Waddle and Sylvie get you home next. We'll see you tomorrow.